Praise the Lord. It's great to be gathered together and to look to the word of the Lord. If you've been coming in recent weeks, we're conscious of a fresh touch of the Lord upon the house and fresh touch of his knowledge and understanding, and been dealing in the areas of the supernatural, baptism in the Spirit, speaking with other tongues, and the healing dimensions. And this morning I want to continue in the healing realm, strength of God for our bodies. And the title today is The Life of Jesus in the Mortal Body. The Life of Jesus in the Mortal Body. One of the greatest needs in the body of Christ is the need of physical strength and physical healing. It's difficult to fulfill our duties. It's difficult to fulfill the call of God and will of God on our life when we are hampered by sickness and ailment. And the Lord wants to touch us. He has a provision for us. He has a blessing for us in this realm. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be unlearned." Paul said, concerning spiritual gifts, it's one word in the Greek original, pneumatica, the plural. He says, "I do not want you to be ignorant or unlearned. I want you to understand the supernaturals. I want you to understand the spirituals." And then he goes on to list nine of those supernaturals, spirituals, works of the Holy Spirit. And one of them is gifts of healing. Another is workings of miracles. Gifts of healings are divine enablements to heal the sick. Apart from medical cures, natural means, and human skill. Divine enablements. The Lord wants to touch our bodies and for us to receive strength by his Holy Spirit. The life of Jesus in the mortal body. Let's remind ourselves of a few promises of the Lord. Exodus 15 and 26, Jehovah Rophe, I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord your healer. That's what the Lord's word was to the people that he redeemed out of Egypt. Israel of old, his ancient people, which is a picture of all of us being born again, coming out of sin, coming out of the world, coming out from bondage and darkness and satanic tyranny into the presence of the Lord to walk the rest of our lives with the Lord. I am the Lord that heals you. I am Jehovah Rophe. Psalm 105:37 comments on that night of their deliverance. It says, he brought them forth, he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That night of their salvation, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And the psalmist lists seven benefits, but the first two are, who forgives all your iniquities, your sins, and second, who heals all your diseases. What a wonderful Lord we have. In Matthew chapter 8 and verses 16 to 17, Jesus Christ, when he came in his ministry, he showed us who the Father was and what the heart of the Father was like. Matthew 8 and verse 16 says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." He came in healing ministry. He came in that provision for our bodies. He healed all that were sick, all that came to him, that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 53, that the Lord took our infirmities and that he bore our sicknesses. So today we want a fresh spirit of faith. We want to believe the promises of God. We want to say yes and amen to the promises of God. And today that there would be this spirit of faith, that we would come out of our own mind, come out of the man mind into the God mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says set your mind and set your affection on things above, heavenly things, on the supernaturals, on the spirituals, not on things on the earth. Let's lift our vision this morning and anoint our eyes with eye salve that we might see. Now, before I touch on the avenues of healing, let's look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 3 to 6. Some of the most startling words that you can find in the Bible. Jesus Christ was performing miracles and preaching the gospel, forgiving sins, healing people, ever since his baptism in the Holy Spirit at the River Jordan. And he'd been in a number of places already ministering, and reputation and fame was going out about this prophet of the Lord, this man of God. And then one day Jesus came back to his hometown of Nazareth. And he came and he stood in the synagogue and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Spirit is upon me. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to set captives free. I'm here to heal the sick, recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised." And now listen to their response. Verse 3, they said, "Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary? His brothers and his sisters are here with us." And they were offended at him. They were too familiar with him. They saw him on a human level. And they stumbled over him. They could not respond with a spirit of faith. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. Jesus came to his own synagogue, his own church where he'd grown up his whole life. He came to bring the anointing. He came to bring the mighty works of God. He came to bring the gospel, the healing ministry of the Lord. And he could do no mighty work. He healed a few sick people. He marveled at their unbelief. Some people say, well, if Jesus wants to heal, he can. He can walk into our church anytime and heal the sick and perform his miracles. Well, apparently not. Apparently not. There are many things that Jesus wants to do in our lives. There are many things that Jesus wants to do in this church that he hasn't been able to do. He requires a response of faith. He requires something from his people. And we can see he marveled at their unbelief. There was no spirit of faith. There was no spirit to join with the Spirit of God and believe the promises of God. And Jesus was hindered in his ministry in his hometown. And so these scriptures tell us how important it is that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, that we cooperate with the Word of God and with Jesus Christ to bring forth the ministry of the Lord in the house of the Lord and in our midst. Hallelujah. Tonight, Pastor Jen is going to preach on the fullness of God in his body and the requirement and the response that comes out of every member to bring the fullness of God into the local church so that we come behind in no gift and that we are filled with the fullness of God. If it's not your pattern to come on Sunday nights, you should come on Sunday nights. Participate in the work of the Lord. Give the Lord's day to him. This is the day of the Lord. It's his day. All day I'll bring the morning sacrifice and I'll bring the evening sacrifice and I will dedicate myself with a response to the living God. Now what about the avenues of healing? I want to touch on them today. What are the avenues of healing? Number one, receive Jesus as your physical life. Receive Jesus as your physical life. This is very important. Colossians 3:4 says, "Christ who is our life." Christ who is our life. Not only in our spirit and our soul, the inner man, but in the body as well. Christ who is our life. Then we have Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ." I am crucified. My whole being was put to death. Not only my spirit and my soul, my whole being, including my body, was crucified with Christ when I died to the old person I was and became a new creation in Christ. And that's why the body is buried in the waters of baptism. Not only the soul and spirit, the body as well. It's signifying that that death has taken place upon our entire being. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this human body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is our life, the life I now live in this mortal flesh. Romans 8:10 says the body is dead because of sin. Our body is dead. It's been crucified. It's been judged. This body was laid in the watery grave, signifying it's dead and that we live unto God. The body is dead because of sin, Paul says. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. How many have Christ in them? If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, let's leave it a capital S as some translations have, but the Holy Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is life in us because of righteousness. And if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit is here to give us life. Jesus wants to be physical life in us. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says the first Adam was made a quickening soul. He was made a living soul. The first Adam was made a living soul, a living being. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. When we receive Jesus Christ, we have a life-giving spirit on the inside of us. A.B. Simpson, the godly founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, a man who was sickly for many years, but because of it, he began to seek God and seek the Scriptures. And he received one of the most powerful revelations of the healing of the body and the healing ministry of the Lord, so that he is one of the giants in the last 2,000 years in the healing ministry and the testimony of the Lord in the touch of the supernatural upon the body. An amazing godly founder. He said these words, "When Christ becomes an indwelling and personal reality in the soul, it is hard to keep him out of the body." When Christ becomes an indwelling and personal reality in the soul, it is hard to keep him out of the body. The Lord is known as the strength of his people. 1 Samuel 29, the strength, capital S, the strength of Israel does not lie. He was known as the strength of Israel. And if you go through the Scriptures, it's amazing. There are dozens of Scriptures that talk about the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his strength. Strength and wisdom. Strength and power are his. He gives might to those that are faint. The strength of Israel is our Lord and our God, and he wants to touch us by his presence. Psalm 84 says that God's people go from strength to strength, and every one of them in Zion, in the house of the Lord, in the local church, appear before God. They go from strength to strength, and they appear before the Lord. The great promise of Deuteronomy 33, as your days, so shall your strength be, not your weakness. As your days, God says, so shall your strength be. Powerful, wonderful words of the Lord. And so we understand today one of God's healing avenues is to receive Christ as our life, as our physical health and strength. That there is an impartation to our physical body by Jesus Christ, and that our faith should rise up in expectation to receive that and take hold of it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe, we must take in. Think of Moses. Think of other men in Scripture, how they were anointed of the Lord, how the power of God came on them, and they were supernaturally sustained. They are there as visionaries. They are there as examples for us, that we would look to our fathers and look to our spiritual mothers and draw strength for our own life. There was Caleb. 85 years of age, he said, "As yet am I as strong today at 85 as I was when I was 40 years of age. The Lord has put his strength in me." He wasn't simply talking about spiritual strength. He had that. He had spiritual capacity and vision. He was talking about his physical body. He said, "I'm as strong at 85 as I was at 40 to go out and war against my enemies." And those days they fought flesh and blood in the land of Canaan. He said, "I'm as strong today." Samson, that strong man in the Word of God, could do unimaginable feats by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us clearly that his physical strength was attributed to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and there was physical strength. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Came upon him mightily, and he performed great acts and great accomplishments for the Lord. Christ wants to be our life in our mortal body. Receive Christ as your life. Respond to him in faith. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 11. The words of the Apostle Paul, he said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Now, it was also working in his spirit, his inward man, but he said that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." For Jesus' sake. Make sure we're living for Jesus' sake. "That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest," where? "In our mortal flesh." That the life of Jesus might be made manifest and revealed in our mortal flesh. The Apostle Paul, persecuted. So many rigors of the gospel upon his life. The travel, the difficulty, he says, distresses and necessities. Times where I didn't have sufficient food. The care of the churches. Fasting prayers, fasting often. I mean, the man wore out his body for the gospel. And he said, I wear out my body for the gospel, but somehow the life of Jesus is manifest in my physical flesh. There's an impartation of the very life of God into my flesh. Now someone might say, "You know, Paul, you should take it a little easier. Back off a little from your travels. Take some rest. Take some more breaks like other people would. Don't pour yourself out so vigorously. I mean, pull back a little bit on those watching prayers when you're awake in the night and bearing the burden of the churches and calling out for deliverance. Back off on some of your fasting prayers." Only to hear Paul say, I can't. "Well, why not, Paul?" He said, "Well, it's not good for my health. It's not good for my health." Said, "When I give myself fully to the Lord and to his will and pour out beyond myself, I find that the life of Jesus, the physical life of Jesus, actually takes over in my physical body and I'm renewed and strengthened." Hallelujah. Receive Jesus Christ as your physical life. Let there be an opening of our eyes. Let there be a new revelation this morning. Sometimes we preserve our life. We're saving our life. I can't take on too much. I've got to set my boundaries. I can't go too far. I can't pray too long. I can't go to church too much. I can't pour out too much. And saving our life, we lose it. But if we will pour out for Jesus Christ and the gospel, our life will be preserved, and we will find Jesus Christ as the physical strength of these mortal bodies. What a promise of the Lord. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you this morning. Number two, ascend the hill of the Lord with joy. The hill of the Lord is In New Testament terms, the local church, where we gather. In Old Testament times, there was one place of worship for God's people, and that was Mount Zion, the hill of the Lord, Jerusalem. But that has been done away with, and all over the earth where God's people gather and assemble to his presence, that is the hill of the Lord. That is the mountain of the Lord. That is the Jerusalem. That is the Mount Zion. We've gathered to the hill of the Lord this morning. We're here in Mount Zion. We're here in the heavenly Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, gathered to the presence of the Lord, our King. Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I will be thankful unto him, and I will bless his name. What is the spirit by which you come to church? Because that's the hill of the Lord. How do you come to the house of the Lord? Do you come anticipating the presence of God? I can't wait for Sunday. We're going to go up to the holy hill. I'm going to magnify God in the midst of his people. I'm going to sing praises. I'm going to dance. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to be filled with joy for the presence of the Lord. What kind of joy do we have for the mountain of the Lord and the holy hill? Some today do not have proper respect for the Lord. They do not have proper respect for the local church, which is the hill of the Lord, the mountain of God, the house of God. They're not prepared when they come. Not ready. Not punctual. Though everybody's late sometimes because of emergencies, but drag into the house of the Lord. Not ready to offer sacrifice. Spirit not built up. Can you imagine? If we were invited by the prime minister or a president or the queen to be in their presence, nobody'd be showing up late. I mean, we'd be ready. We'd be on our best behavior. My, we'd be excited. I'm going to meet the king. I'm going to meet the queen. Kim, that's how we should be for our Lord. Every time we gather, I'm coming to the house of God. I'm coming to meet with my King. I'm coming to the place where he said he resides in the midst of his people. How do you ascend the hill of the Lord? Do you ascend the hill of the Lord with joy? Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Some people can come to church, but they can't ascend the hill of the Lord. They can come to the meeting, but they can't ascend the hill of the Lord. Lead me up the mountain. Lead me up into your presence where your glory shines. But you have to have clean hands and a pure heart. A pure heart where you love the Lord your God with all your soul and mind and strength, everything that is within you, and clean hands. Your hands are clean when it comes to other relationships of life. You're one that edifies. You're one that blesses people. You're one that cares and shepherds and ministers the love of God out into this world. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. There was one man who ascended into the presence of the Lord that is an amazing figure for us on the pages of the Bible, and that was Moses. Before Mount Zion and Jerusalem were the Mount of God, there was another mountain. It was Mount Sinai where the presence of God dwelt. It was called the Mount of God at that point. The Bible shows us how Moses went up into the Mount of God, up into Mount Sinai, and there the presence of the Lord was. He was so transformed in the holy mountain, in the presence of God, that his entire body was changed and touched by physical life. And the Bible says the skin of his face shone, and it shone the rest of his life. Now maybe he needed a top up once in a while. He entered the presence of God. From 80 to 120 years of age, Moses' face shone with the glory of God. Divine life took hold of him in that glorious presence of God, so much that when it came to 120 years of age, and because of a sin that he'd committed and dishonored the Lord in the striking of the rock, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. But Moses, at 120 years of age, couldn't die. His body was so infused by the supernatural resurrection divine life of God that God finally said, listen, come up into one of the mountains here. I'm going to stop your breathing. because it's the only way to end your life. And that body was there. God buried him, it says, in one of the mountains and one of the caves. And that body wouldn't decompose. It was so full of resurrection life. The devil came, as Jude says, and he wanted to contend for that body. I don't know what idolatrous purpose he had in mind, but Michael the archangel contended with Satan and said, "The Lord rebuke you." And somehow that body of Moses was resurrected and taken to the heavens because he came down with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. That is how the life of God touched that human body. Up into the hill of the Lord. Up into the hill of the Lord. There should be such an expectation. No matter what we're struggling with during the week, there may be some ailment, there may be some aches and pains, there may be some circumstances or trials. I can't wait to get to the holy mountain with God's people, because when I get into that place of worship and prayer with all of God's people, the presence of my King, my life, my body, my being is going to be touched by the presence of the Lord, and things are going to change. What an avenue of healing. What an avenue of healing, the corporate body. There are many today, as I said, that don't respect the Lord properly. Attend when they want, if they want, if they have nothing else to do. Weeks go by, they're not found properly built into the house of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul warned about this, and he said it's a serious matter. He said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 30, "For this reason, for this cause, many are weak." Many are weak in body. And many are sickly. And he said, and many die prematurely before their time. Because they don't honor the Lord. They don't honor the house of God. They don't honor the ministry properly. For this reason, Paul said, in the body of Christ, many are weak. They don't have strength in their body. They have to stay home. They can't come to church. Too weak to come to church. But there's a higher way of life. There's a higher level of life. He said some are sickly. And in the body of Christ, some are dying prematurely because they don't honor the Lord and His church properly. This is one of the great healing avenues. If you will give yourself to the house of the Lord and be planted in the house of the Lord properly, you will find the presence and the life and the strength and the healing of the Lord in your life. Number three, abide in the Word. Abide in the Word. John 15:7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." If you abide in me, Jesus said, if you are constantly worshiping and praying and communing with me, and my words are abiding in you, they're alive in you, you've memorized them, you're speaking them over and over, you're rehearsing them, you're living in the promises, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It shall be done. The power of the Word of God in our life. Now, the promises are so wonderful concerning the Word of God and its power in our life. Proverbs 3 and verse 8 says, "Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel," to your core, the innermost of your being. "It shall be health to your being and marrow," or moisture, "to your bones." Moisture to your bones. As people age, their bones supposedly deteriorate. God says, no, my word is going to be some moisture to your bones. It's going to be marrow to your bones. That's the power of my word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow." And joints and marrow. You mean this Word of God, if I can abide in it, if I can pull it into my life, it's going to go right down into my joints? It's going to go right down into the marrow of my bones and revive my body? That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Let's lift our eyes and lift our spirit of faith. Then we have Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Attend to my words. Incline your ear. Guard them in your heart. They are life unto those that find them. That means I must be on the search. I must be on the search. I need to find those words of God for myself. As the prophet said, I found your words. I did eat them. They became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We have to find the words of the Lord. We have to search out the words of God and take them in. The Bible says that as we do, as we linger in the Word, as we meditate in the Word, as we spend time in the presence of our Lord, unhurried, waiting on the Lord, we're taking in His Word in our homes and in the house of the Lord, something is happening. Those words are putting life into us. The sayings of the Lord are actually putting life into us. One of my most prized possessions is an old Bible reading guide. We put it out for many, many years. This one, 2004, when I was facing the threat of terminal disease. And as I sought the Lord, I knew there was a satanic attack against my life. But I also knew the Lord had a purpose in what I was going through. And for a whole year, I set myself apart to the Lord in a very, very real manner and special way. And at one point, I felt that I should undertake a 21-day noon hour fast, 21 days in a row, where I would take a healing scripture, a different one every day, as I felt them prompted in my heart. I took a healing scripture every day, and I spent 1 hour praying over that scripture, memorizing it, claiming the promise of God, calling out on God. No, I am nothing. He is everything. But He said His Word would come and be health to our flesh. It would be life. It would be marrow to our bones. We need to pull aside into the presence of God when we're suffering affliction or ailment or sickness and repent of our disobedience and of our pride and anything that would hinder us from walking after God properly and purely and put ourselves in the presence of the Lord in a fresh new way and begin to draw in His Word. Draw in His Word. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. It's active, it's presence alive. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A living word. Now, this was the lesson that God endeavored to teach His ancient people Israel, that they do not live by bread alone. But there's another life source for them that'll put strength into them and vitality into their being. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And He humbled thee. The Lord humbled His people and suffered thee to hunger. God said, I'm going to let you hunger in the physical. You're going to face some hunger. You're not going to have proper food and diet because I want you to know, I want you to learn by experience that you don't need all the proper nutrients all the time, but that my word is putting life into you so much so that sometimes when you don't have enough food and you don't eat properly, that you feel just as strong and invigorated as when you are eating. God says, I just want you to know that. So I'm going to humble you. I'm going to suffer you to hunger at times. And He said, I'm going to feed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, heavenly supply, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. We have a supply beyond natural bread. We have a supply beyond natural food, and that is these very words of God, that somehow as we take in this word of God, it puts physical strength and life into our physical body. This explains why some people that live a fasted life like John the Baptist and others, that they are so healthy, that they're so invigorated and strong. They don't have the proper mix of all the nutrients and vitamins and everything that is perpetrated constantly before our eyes in this world. They had another life source. You think of Daniel and his friends. They said, no, we're not going to eat the fortified food. We're not going to eat the fortified food of the king. Put us on a fasted diet, they said to their overseer. And the overseer was a little concerned. He said, my, if after 10 days on this trial that you look weak and sickly, my head is on the line. Daniel said, no, let's trust the living God. They ate a restricted diet. They did not eat all the vitamins, all the fortified foods that supposedly brought the other of their peers into strength. And yet after 10 days, when they looked on Daniel and his friends, their flesh was more robust and fairer than all their companions. The Word of God. The Word of God. Now let's listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, present, active, out of the mouth of God. The first temptation was the temptation in the realm of Jesus' body. The second and the third were in the area of the soul and the spirit. But the first temptation of Satan against the Son of God and against the sons of God here is that we try and bring forth supply for our physical body. Jesus, you're hungry. 40 days and 40 nights, you fasted. Now bring forth a miracle. Your body needs food. Jesus overcame that temptation. He refused the devil's bread. And he was sustained by the Word of God. Doesn't say he was hungry anymore. What a lesson for us to overcome and live. That the Lord is teaching us that our physical strength is not dependent on bread alone, on our diet, on our vitamins, making sure we have all the right foods and take care of everything in that realm, that our life as well is sustained by the mighty Word of God. Amen. Sit under the preaching of the Word. Meditate in the Word. My, it's not only touching my spirit and soul, this is touching my physical body. That's why you can come into the house of the Lord and you may feel somewhat tired and fatigued, but you get into the presence of God with His holy people. You begin to take in the Word and the worship and the presence of God. And my, in a little while, by the time the meeting's over, you walk out, you feel like you're walking on air. What happened to all that tiredness? What happened to that fatigue? The presence, the Word, the life of Jesus touches our mortal bodies. We are not like the unsaved. We are not like unregenerate men whose only life source is physical food. We are those who live by the Word of God as well. We are of God. We are in this world. We are not of this world. We are of God. And we have a wonderful, wonderful supply. When you're having breakfast, don't forget the superfood. Hallelujah. Jesus came to the well at Samaria, sat on the well. It had been a long journey and travel, walking by foot. Sat on the well. He was tired. Disciples said, listen, we're going to slip into town and get some food. We need some replenishing. We need to be revived. While they were gone, woman of Samaria came, and Jesus began to minister the gospel and prophetic revelation. Power of God began to flow through him as he ministered to this woman. She received Christ, well of living water put down inside of her that would never be quenched. Holy Spirit life in her. Disciples came back, and they had food with them, and they offered him bread. He said, no, he said, I'm full. They said, While we were gone, did somebody bring him food? No, Jesus gave himself to the will of God. And something happened to his physical body that day. It was invigorated by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that dwells in us, the same Spirit that communicates and imparts physical life to us. The Word of God is a powerful healing avenue. Powerful healing avenue. When you're facing sickness, ailment, tiredness, fatigue, go to the Word of God. Say, I'm going to take in this book. I'm going to eat and be fed. Number four, real quick. Talk much about the Lord and His wondrous works. Talk much about the Lord and His wondrous works. Luke 24:15, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. There are conversations where you can feel the presence of Jesus enter. These two men were reasoning about the events that had happened, the crucifixion and all the events of the trial and the promises of God, and they were searching the Scriptures and talking over the Scriptures and talking over the things of God. And as they communed about the Lord, He drew near and went with them. And their lives were transformed and changed. Colossians 3:16 in the Living Bible says, talk much with each other about the Lord. Talk much with each other about the Lord, quoting psalms and hymns and singing spiritual songs. I gave personal testimony 2 weeks ago of an attack on my body for 21 days. How pain came into my left knee on July 14th, and for 21 days I fought that pain. Pain so severe I could hardly walk. I could hardly take a step. Every step I was wincing. I thought, my, what is this? Lord, you've healed both my knees in the past, and now is this a lying symptom? What is this? Is it an attack of the enemy? What am I facing? For 21 days, I fought that pain, day and night. And then day 21, the Lord showed me something, because in that evening, as I shared, Deborah and I were with my brother Harold and his wife Denise, and I felt so inspired to, because the truths of the baptism in the Spirit and the supernatural were working so much in my heart. I wanted to talk about, you know, my grandmother's baptism in the Spirit, how she was filled and spoke with tongues, and how my mom and dad were filled with the Holy Spirit at separate occasions and spoke with tongues, and my own baptism in the Spirit at 10 years of age, and our family, and began to talk about some of the miracles of the Lord in our family, wondrous works that God has done. And you know, as we were talking that evening amidst other conversation, but as we were talking much about the Lord, I felt the healing power of God. All the pain went out of my knee. Talk much with each other about the Lord. He'll draw near. For 6 days, I had no pain. Absolutely no pain. I could go walking, do whatever I wanted, just like before. And then the Friday, as I came after 6 days to prepare for the next Sunday, the message and the ministry on the Holy Spirit and the supernatural and the gifts of God, as I drove to the office and came to prepare for Sunday, the pain came back into my knee. And I fought that pain Friday, I fought it Saturday, I fought it Sunday, and when Sunday night was over and the ministry was over for the weekend, I walked out of this church and went to fellowship and go about my ways, and all the pain came out of my knee that Sunday night, interestingly, after the ministry of the weekend was over, and for 2 weeks I've been pain-free in my knee. A satanic attack. It's a satanic attack. But one of the ways that we can be delivered in times of sickness and ailment is talk much about the Lord. Talk of His wondrous works. Sometimes we're letting corrupt communication come out of our mouth. We're talking about all the sicknesses and diseases and how impossible they are, and hopefully they can find a cure. And we talk more about our ailments and our pains and everything that's affecting us than we do about giving glory to God for who He is, His healing promises, His life. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication, it means literally
rotten or putrefied communication come out of your life. There is, out of your mouth, there is conversation that we speak that does not put healing into our bodies. It works against the healing. Let no corrupt communication, let no putrefied communication come out of your mouth, but that which is godly, that which will build up, that which will strengthen your bones and strengthen your heart. Let's close with Malachi 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, that prized his name, meditate on his name. Living Bible says, then they that feared and loved the Lord spoke often of him to one another. See, we must prize the name of the Lord. He's the great I am. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that provides. I am the Lord your shepherd. I am the Lord your righteousness. Let's start lifting up his name more. Talk of all his wondrous works, and we will be amazed at how his presence draws near and touches our lives and our families, every part of our being. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, exhausted. But they that wait upon the Lord, there's an answer. They that wait upon the Lord, those that bind their lives, those that twist their lives in close with the Lord, shall renew their strength, their physical body, their strength of spirit and soul and body. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What glorious promises. How many are thankful for the knowledge of the Lord? We live a different life. We live a miracle life. Christ is our life. This morning, receive Jesus Christ as your life. Let the life of Jesus touch your mortal body. Have a fresh spirit of faith for whatever situation you're in, and know that the Lord is coming with his healing presence and with his life. Respond to him. Don't let him marvel at your unbelief. Let him marvel as he did at the centurion. I have not seen faith so great in all Israel. Let him marvel at your faith, your persistence, your diligence, your calling out, your searching after the Lord. Let him marvel at your surrender. Remember what A.B. Simpson said. When Jesus becomes an indwelling and personal reality in your soul, it's hard to keep him out of the body. Let's stand together this morning. How many need a fresh touch from the Lord? You need strength for your weakness. You need healing in your body. Slip out from where you are. Come, offer yourself upon the altar. Say, Lord, here I am. I give my body a living sacrifice. If you need a touch from the Lord, slip out from where you are. Come and draw on the strength of the Lord. Put away some of the mindset of man, the unbelief, the excuses. Draw on the Lord. He's our life. He's our strength. He will touch us. Come and receive from the Lord. Need a renewal of strength. Some of you may be facing weakness in your body. You feel it's that energy drag all the time. Well, this morning, the word of the Lord has given us the answer, given us some healing avenues, and so we can draw near to the Lord with a fresh spirit of faith. But if you need a touch from the Lord, the next few moments slip out. You need a touch in your body. Perhaps you're here and you don't know the Lord, but today you want to become a Christian. Follow the Lord with all your heart. Slip out from where you are. People will be praying for you at the front. Tell them, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I am dying to myself. I'm going to live unto Jesus Christ, my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. How beautiful our Lord. Let's lift our hands to the Lord this morning and surrender to Him. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Thank you, Lord.